What you're about to listen to is a recording of the first ever live performance of the Carl Landry Record Club podcast, recorded November 22nd at World Cafe Live in Philadelphia. On it, we talk about a bunch of different artists and a bunch of different songs, and Mootloo does covers of all of the artists we talk about, from Amy Winehouse to Prince to Olivia Rodrigo. And at the end, we have a rousing TV sitcom sing-along where Moot does about 15 different TV sitcoms and we all sing along. I'd like to thank anyone who was there and is reliving it, and everyone who is not there and listening to this anyway and may go to the next one.
Live recording of this, so I want to bring everybody in. This is our first time doing this thing, the Carl Landry Rec Club, so we're going to kind of cue it up. We're going to kind of break the rules a little bit, and Spike's going to do the intro. You guys ready for that?
Yeah.
All right.
Before we get going, are you okay that we talk instead of this beautiful voice singing? No?
We'll be singing a little bit.
So in the middle, the Carl Landry Record Club podcast is 2 years old. We're almost at 100 episodes. In the middle, it's about 2 months into the pandemic, we started it. And if you're a white guy and you're in the pandemic, you had to start a podcast. And if you already had a podcast like I did, you had to start a second podcast. So that's what we did. And Mootloo and I, in our mid-40s here as we see the home stretch.
Yeah.
Looking back on music, the way music is now and the way we grew up, what we talked about when we started the pod was when we were growing up and learning about music, it was when somebody told you about something that they liked, or they gave you a tape, or they gave you a record, or they gave you a mixtape, or something like that, and that's how we learned about music. And while Spotify is cool, well, it's fine, I guess, and Apple Music is cool, and it suggests things to you, just sort of like with a computer with an algorithm, what it does is suggest things to you that you probably would already like. And you don't learn about anything new. So we started the podcast in an effort, because even though we both love music, we love different kinds of music, and we figured people that would listen would also like different kinds of music. So every week, I come up with an album, or Mootloo comes up with an album that he likes, and the listener does, and we listen. And the rule is, you have to find something that you like about it, even if you don't, which is not always easy. Do you remember one album for you that you had a hard time saying something good about?
Something Buildings?
Moving Buildings or Life Without Buildings?
Life Without Buildings. Does anyone know that record at all?
No.
Anyone familiar with that? Oh, someone does.
Leo, of course. When we eventually did a Springsteen record, I had a lot of trouble. I don't like Springsteen at all.
Oh, you're gonna, yeah.
Yeah.
Hope nobody's got like tomatoes.
But all of that said, I did find something I loved about it, and through 100 episodes, probably 250 albums, we have found a lot of things that we love. And one of the first ones we did, one of the ones you picked was Prince.
Prince, yes. Prince, Dirty Mind. Although this song is not from Dirty Mind, but this is a song, I'm thinking about when I first got introduced to Prince, it was probably from the song Cream. Remember Cream? And I think Prince had like assless pants on.
That's for the third set.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, he was just like, he was like from another planet. But just so soulful and like a rock hero, unlike anyone I think I'd ever seen. And I think that was probably early 90s. That made me go back to all the earlier Prince stuff. You were a Prince fan, I think.
Yeah, come on, man.
If you had to pick one Prince album, what would it be?
Me?
Yeah.
Purple Rain.
Purple Rain. Yeah, Purple yeah. Rain. Purple Rain.
Anything else? 1999.
The Batman soundtrack, that was good. The Bat Dance, I remember that one.
What do you think is it about Prince that spoke to you?
I think I think someone described it best one time. They said he's kind of like a genre in and of himself. I mean, there's all kinds of elements there: rock, soul, pop, funk. I mean, you can go through all the genres, but it's not like when you hear Prince do all those genres together, the way he puts it together, it's like anything you've heard. Instead, he's one of those people that just influenced like thousands, tens of thousands of groups and artists, and not just in R&B music, but in rock and roll too. So I mean, it's very rarely you have an artist that has that kind of reach and that kind of appeal.
Best halftime show in Super Bowl history.
Without a question, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
he absolutely. Killed it.
Absolutely, and put everything else aside, like a guitar player, like few of us, you know, like few have ever seen. So I'm gonna do, or should we do?
Do it, do it.
Right, I'm gonna do, this is the one I usually like to cover of his, and this is a song called Kiss.
Falsetto.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's. I like that we started on that one.
Well, that was the at my wedding. The final song. We only made them play a few songs, and the final song was Purple Rain. And I told the wedding band, you can't play the radio one with the shortened solo. It has to be the full version.
The 12.
Final. Yeah. Full version. So once in a while, we do a thing called the New Music Club on Carl Andrew Record Club, where we have a couple of our friends, Jason and Andrew, who work for Billboard, and they play us new songs. And because I'm old now, and I don't hear new songs, it's a good way for us to hear things that we would never hear before. And pop songs now are different, right? Like 20 years ago or 30 years ago, when a pop song was big, you would hear it everywhere all the time. And now I feel like you can avoid them somehow.
Yeah, I think just there's so many other outlets. There's so many means through which people who hear music, like, you don't, there aren't those like transcendent hits that everyone knows. Although I think the one we're going to talk about is maybe close to that.
Yeah. So Jason and AU gave us 4 or 5 songs, and we try not to talk about the music before the podcast. But I think I remember I heard this song and I texted Mootloo about it right away, because it was Driver's License by Olivia Rodrigo.
You guys know that one?
So,
not really. All right.
So I had never heard this song, and you had never heard it when we did it, right?
No. That was the first time.
There was something about the storytelling in this song that reminded me of like an 80s power ballad.
Absolutely.
Like, and I felt like when she was singing the words, I felt like I could see the story.
Yeah. It's one of those tunes that some songs, you know, have that immediate something that the first time you hear them. I'm trying to think of other some examples like that. I think maybe the first time I heard like Billie Jean by Michael Jackson or something. There's some songs that are just like embedded in your brain. For whatever reason, that first instantaneous moment, it just hits you. And I think the one, her big hit, her first big hit, is kind of one of those.
Yeah, she had a lot of big hits. Somehow I think this song was everywhere for a minute and then it sort of disappeared. It sort of feels underrated, but she's a great artist and I thought this song was amazing. And I remember texting Mootloo and I said, you should cover this. And he did a little for our Instagram, but...
Bust it out now. Yeah. So wait, do you guys not know this song, Driver's License?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, well, some right. People know this one. All right, I'll play a little snippet of this.
Yeah.
60s weird for me to sing this. I'm like 40-something. This is written by like a like a 16-year-old girl. Because I didn't just get my driver's license. It's been a minute. But yeah. You can suspend disbelief a little bit. Got my driver's license last week. It's like we always talked about. Because you were so excited for me. Finally drive up to your house. But today I drove through the suburbs crying cause you weren't around. And you're probably with that same guy who always made me down. So much older than me is everything I'm insecure about. But today I drove through the suburbs crying cause you weren't around. And I know we weren't perfect, but I never felt this way for no one. And I just can't imagine how you could be okay now that I'm gone. Guess you didn't mean what you wrote. You said forever, now I drive alone past your street.
Yeah. Can I be honest? I got like a little bit of chills while you were doing that. I did, and then I saw you grinning toward the end, and I felt like an asshole because you got a chill.
No, it's because only because like that's way up there. I was like, I was still thinking about Prince, like kind of how Prince would maybe sing that song, especially with a falsetto, you know?
We have talked about like guilty pleasures, which I don't believe in saying, because the purpose of music is for you to like it, and if you like it, you shouldn't feel bad about it. And liking pop songs, like I love the Backstreet Boys, right? Like I love them, and I am not ashamed. And there's nothing wrong with liking a big pop tune from a teenage girl if it's a great tune.
Absolutely, and my other thing is, I sort of started admitting this to people later. I love the Twilight movies. You guys know those Twilight movies? I know, it's a little embarrassing to say it up here, but...
Are you an Edward guy or a Jacob guy?
No, I'm Jacob. I'm team...
Wait, my wife really loved the Twilight movies, and she made me see one of them when we started dating. So I showed her The Lost Boys, and I said, that's what vampire movies are supposed to be like.
That's the old school vampire.
Speaking of guilty pleasures, I grew up loving hair bands. And do we have any other hair bands? So we've done a couple of hair band records. What was your... So we did a Cinderella album, Long Cold Winter. Delaware County's own Cinderella.
Delco's.
What was your hair band perception? Like, what is the band or song that pops into your head when I say...
I mean, probably Guns N' Roses, I guess, would be the most obvious one, but are they technically a hair band?
I don't think they're a hair band.
Who else? I guess Motley Crue.
Motley Crue's a hair band. I think Cinderella, I think there are a few bands from that era that get shit on, unfortunately, that are actually way better than the memory of. Like, I think Cinderella was one of those bands. Tesla was one of those bands I thought was really awesome. I loved Warrant.
We did a Warrant album, I think.
We did Cherry Pie.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And then the reason I love Cinderella is they were just so... First of all, their lead singer, Tom Kiefer, who's from this area as well, is a total rock star. But they have something that I think touched your soul, which was the blues. They had a real tinge of the blues.
Yeah, for me, like especially if it's like a hard rock metal thing, if you can hear the blues in it, that always hooks me in. And also, they have a great commercial. If you get a chance, go check it out. It's for Pat's Chili Dogs. I don't know where that is. Is that down the shore? Is that...
No, I thought Pat's Chili Dogs was like on 452.
I think...
Am I crazy?
It's like they're like singing outside this chili dog. It's like, Pat's Dogs! Pat's Chili Dogs! You gotta have that like hair metal thing. I don't really have that kind of falsetto. But it's an amazing commercial.
So they have one of the best power ballads of all time, which he's going to do. I think my favorite power ballad ever is I Remember You by Skid Row. Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
That's another
one. Yeah, that's another one. But Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone was amazing because it was like almost 6 minutes. but it was still a big hit. And they're from Delco.
And the question is, do I play this in the kind of in the way that would be natural to me, or in the hair band style? Or maybe I'll try like a little combination of the two. Here we go. Can't tell you, baby, what went wrong. Can't make you feel what you felt so long ago. Let it show. Now here comes the hair metal version. Can't take back what's been hurt. The heartaches come and go. All that's left are the words. I let it show. It would take some time. Think it over, baby. Take some time. Let me know. Really wanna go. Don't know what you got till it's gone. Don't know what it is I did so wrong. Now I know what I got. It's just this song. And it ain't
this dude, man.
Thank you. I couldn't stick with the hair metal thing for too long. I had to stick to the natural voice.
I mean, in the last 10 minutes, you've gone Cinderella Prince and Olivia Rodrigo. You got some range, man.
I tried to.
Mulu's been, he's playing you new songs. He's threatening new music at some point soon in the next. Can you encourage him to put it out like it's been?
Yes. That's what I need. You know, I got to, we were talking about this before, but like for me, I love performing live, but sometimes the studio is just kind of like it's the most tedious part of the whole thing for me. So you have to like shift your brain towards doing it. But the best way for me to connect to like deciding to go back in the studio is to play the songs live and get the reaction, like a few of the ones we played earlier. So I appreciate that love and that encouragement. I really do.
We're so, you know, we're talking about Cinderella being from here, and you obviously being from here is like, Philly has, first of all, has a great history of great musicians. The last 10 years has been really great, too.
Oh, yeah.
Is there one in your gut that sticks out
as far as
all
like
time?
An iconic
all-time
band? I mean, I would have to say, this is going to maybe seem biased, but I have to say Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
You know, because I was always a huge fan of theirs. I've had the opportunity to tour and work with them over the years, and just feel very lucky to have that opportunity. But when you just look at the sheer number of hits they've had, every time I've opened a lot of shows for them across the country, and every time I open for them, I'm just blown away by like every song in the set is basically a hit. And then even when they get through the show, there's still like more hits that they didn't get to. So if you think of like prolific pop music hit makers, it's hard to top Hall & Oates, and they're, you know, from this area, started out here, you know, right here in Philly.
What's that like opening up for somebody that you idolized in front of thousands of people, but knowing that the artist that you care about so much is watching and put you on and is on after you? What is that like?
I think that, you know, because the music business is such a difficult business. There's so much about it that, in some ways, tries to push people out. And when you get an opportunity like that, like people that you grew up, you know, admiring or idolizing, get in front of their audience, get in front of that crowd. It's just, that's as fulfilling as it gets to me. It's kind of surreal, too. Even now, like I did a show with them a couple months ago. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of like a pinch me kind of moment, even after you've done it a bunch of times. That's the one thing about music, that you never want to lose that sense of wonder or excitement. And the business side of it can threaten to do that sometimes. But, you know, something like getting to work with your heroes, that's about as special as it gets. So that's how I put it. Like, it redeems your connection to music and wanting to perform.
Hall or Oates, if you could only take one.
Oh no, don't do that. Oh no.
You don't have to pick one.
I can't. I love both those guys, so I can't do it. I'm thinking, but can't I just take both of them?
Oat's a better perm.
First off, where are we going? You're saying all of them.
I don't know.
Or you got to pick, or like you're on a desert island?
Desert island, you can only bring Hall or Oats.
Hall, Oats, and Honor All.
Yeah.
It's a
trio. when you were talking about Prince, you were talking about combining genres, and one artist we talked about that did an amazing job of that was Amy Winehouse.
Yes.
Who obviously died way too young, which unfortunately so many of the artists we talk about passed away. You know, was Amy Winehouse 27 too? I feel like that's the age.
She might have been, yeah. And you think Kurt Cobain?
Yeah. There's something about great artists which is terrifying, that the thing that creates that great art also makes it hard for them to deal with regular life, and she was one of those people that seemed like she struggled with it all the time. But what an amazing artist she was.
Yeah, incredible. And I think the part of, alongside the fact she wrote great songs, and I'm going to do one of her songs once when we kind of get through this. I'm going to do the whole thing because I love the song so much.
Oh.
Yeah, go all the way with this
one. Okay.
Mainly because the others I just learned snippets of. No, but someone like her, you were seeing her in real time struggle, and she was all putting that all out there for the world to see. That kind of vulnerability, it's tragic, but it kind of, it's connecting too in a way. And when you think of her, I think of, she kind of started a whole wave of other artists that kind of followed in her style but couldn't quite emulate her. I think she's one of those singular artists. I mean, it's crazy because she broke probably 15 years ago now.
Yeah.
It was around that.
Yeah.
But yeah, just an amazing singer, and I think very influential too, and even though she only had a few records, you know.
When I was living in Chicago when she broke, and I saw her, and there was something about some people when you see them perform that instantly, within a second, you know that they're a star, and that everyone's quiet and everyone is fixated on watching, and she was one of those people. She's such a small person too, like physically,
yeah.
Just a tiny little person who struggled but had such a monstrous voice.
And powerhouse. Had
so much soul. Like, you listen to it, and there's hip hop in the music, and there's soul in the music, and there's sometimes it sounds like the 50s, and sometimes it sounds like it came out yesterday. Just an amazing, amazing artist.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, she's an artist that, there's imitations and there's emulation. And she could take those 60s sounding records and the producer she worked with, like Mark Ronson, and kind of channel it and make it her own. That's the whole thing, is to take something that sounds classic but put it together in a way that it's kind of the imposition of your personality, your musical personality. That's what I think she did as well as anybody.
Sing it.
All right. This is a song... song called Love is a Losing Game. I'm gonna go probably the whole thing. For you I was a flame. Love is a losing game. Five story fire as you came. Love is a losing game. What I wish I never played. Oh, what a mess we made. And now the final frame. Love is a losing game. Played out by the band. Love is a losing hand. Well, it was more than I could stand. Love is a losing hand. Self-professed profile. Ooh, why the chill?
Well done.
Thank you.
So we mentioned Springsteen earlier, right? I have this weird thing. So one of the albums I picked for our podcast was The Killer's Sam's Town. I love Sam's Town, and it is, but it is very obviously influenced by Bruce Springsteen. And there's this thing that happens where I can't stand Springsteen, but I like almost everybody who is influenced by Springsteen. So I love the Gaslight Anthem, I love The Killers, I love The National, all that stuff, but I can't stand Springsteen. He seems like a big phony to me. Am I crazy?
I know that's blasphemous.
I'm sorry. Like, if you want the tickets to be cheaper, you can make them cheaper. You're Bruce Springsteen. But in it was my first, second concert. My first concert was the Jackson 5 at JFK Stadium, the Victory Tour, the Jackson 5 reunion tour. And then I saw Born in the USA at the Vet with my dad. What was that, probably 85 or 86, something
sounds
like that?
Right, yeah.
But The Killers, to me, on this album, on Sam's Town, made a Heartland rock album, which if you had heard their first album, Hot Fuss, it was very dancey and you didn't see this coming. But it was almost like on Sam's Town, you could hear you could see the empty town and you could see like the dust balls blowing through the street and all that stuff. And I just thought they made an amazing record. And they're sort of like a confounding band because they... they're still around, but they're not. They had this huge, bright moment, and then they sort of just settled into this thing where they play festivals and stuff. But I just thought it was such a brilliant record, Sam's Town was.
Yeah, and I think some bands are just kind of like their arena. They're just born as arena rock bands. They're like one of those that, like, something about their sound, the scope of it, even if it's more pared down, has that arena quality. And I'll say I don't dislike... The Boss. Quite
he
as
doesn't.
Much as,
it's just me.
I'll just say that. I think a lot of my favorite Springsteen records are like Nebraska. We did that one.
We did. That is
where it's
record.
Just him and a guitar when it's a little more sparse and stripped down. But the tune I'm gonna do a little sample of from The Killers. Kind of reminds me of like you know, the production. The actual record has more of a production, but this has that kind of thing that it works just acoustically, but works with a lot of sound around it as well.
Read My Mind, right?
Yes, indeed.
Do it.
On the corner of Main Street, trying to keep it in line. You say you want to move on, and you say I'm falling behind. Read my mind. Will you read my mind? Breaking out of this two-star town. Got the green light, got a little fight. I'm gonna turn this thing around and read my mind. When you read my mind. The good old days, the honest man. Restless heart, the promised land. Stolen kiss that no one sees. Broken wrist and a big trapeze. Well, I don't mind, you don't mind. I don't shine if you don't shine. For you go, will you read my
right. Thank you.
Can I just say a quick personal note? About a year and a half ago, I moved up to the New York area after living here almost all my life. And it's so nice to be back here. There is truly nothing like Philadelphia, and you don't know it until you move away. I moved away a couple of times. It is just such a wonderful city that you have and a wonderful group of people, and it's just a perfect accent. So it is great to be back.
Who's saying the Wooder Ice Tour? I like that.
Yeah. Him. But I started dating, my wife is from Drexel Hill, and which I tell her is Upper Darby, which she is offended by. But I when I started dating her, I laughed at her accent, and she was like, I don't have an accent. Oh, boy. All right. Okay. So we've talked about a bunch of albums on the pod that, like, if they had been released now, we felt like would be even bigger than when we did. And Fountains of Wayne is one of those bands that you go back and you listen to their records, and you're like, man, how are they not one of the biggest bands of all time? Just to hear perfectly written pop songs in a band that wasn't a pop band, I thought was so cool. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, sort of the power pop thing, but Adam Schlesinger, I mean, he was sadly passed away a couple years ago, but as far as contemporary pop songwriters, he was probably right up there. And I'll be honest, the song we're going to do is actually something that I heard before I really even knew Fountains of Wayne.
Oh, really?
But, you know, there's some songs that when you, like if you deconstruct a Beatles song, you look at it, you break it down, there's always these little tricks, little subtle moves that are made, or the way the chords move against the melody that just kind of sets it aside. And I think he was one of those pop songwriters that could always put that extra little something in it that kind of put it over the top.
This song is a song from a movie. There are so many great songs that you remember from specific moments in movies. I love the Infant Sorrow songs, the Russell Brand songs from Get Him to the Greek are some of my favorites. There are so many great songs from great movies, but this one, you heard it and you were like, man, this song should have been a hit.
Instantaneous.
Yeah.
Instantaneous. Yeah. And Tom Hanks directed this movie, so maybe you guys kind of know what we're referring to on this one, but
do it. Yeah.
You doing that thing you do, tearing my heart into a million pieces, like you always do, and you don't.
Great move.
Yeah.
Great tune. So we have one more song, and then at the end, I've been right in the middle of the maybe a month into the pandemic, had Mutlu and our good friend Amos Lee on my basketball podcast, The Rights to Ricky Sanchez. And those two, when they're together, are just, you know them as great singers, but they are insufferably weird. And it was great. The podcast was like 2 hours long, and I could see about a 90-minute mark, my partner looking at me like, why is this still going? But it was during that I realized, that I found out, I think Amos told me that Moot, he was like, you know, Moot can sing any sitcom theme song there is. And I was like, even Greatest American Hero? And he was like, yeah, even Greatest American Hero. So after this song, like, we are going, I'm just going to throw sitcom theme songs at him, and he's going
to
sing them for you.
And this is a part, like, to bring it home, like, you know, you guys, if you know him, just sing him along with
us.
Yeah, and I'm mostly going to sing him a cappella, a couple of I can play on the guitar, but...
And I know everybody here is like super respectful and quiet, but if you don't sing along with the Golden Girls song or all of them,
you should put that one towards the end.
Family like... Ties and Growing Pains and like, just do it.
Yes.
In any case, our last episode was one on one-hit wonders. And we actually came to an interesting thing about what a one-hit wonder actually is. Because there's the kind of one-hit wonder like Right Said Fred with I'm Too Sexy or The Proclaimers where a band has a song and it's popular and they go away. And then, but we also talked about like Not a Surf, who has had a successful 20-year career, but really has only had one hit, was popular or something, and what a one-hit wonder actually is. I think it's sort of like, some bands I think would take it as an insult if they had a 20-year career and you call them a one-hit wonder, even if they only had one hit.
Yeah, I think it's normally reserved for like a novelty hit. Kind of thing, like a band that just comes and goes. But yeah, it's almost got a negative connotation to it. And I think it's kind of unfair in a way. It's really just maybe the one big hit they had that was on the charts, but they could have 10 records, 12 records. They could still be torn all over. And actually, the band we're going to kind of close this little segment with is a band that had this was their big hit that we're going to do.
Yeah.
And something interesting is going to happen right as we're doing it. But
yeah.
I don't even want to... Probably could never guess in a million years.
You're so kind, you're saying the hit that we're going to do as I sit here and look at you as you play the guitar and sing. Man, I'm great, aren't I?
No.
All these duets as I open my mouth with some of the words because I know them. So are you going to take it from here?
Well, I was going to say this band had a hit. They're Men Without Hats. Anybody know Men Without Hats? Yeah. And... They kind of disappeared for a good almost 20 years, but now they've been back the last decade. And I think they're playing shows. I think they even just released a new album. But, of course, their best-known song is one that we're going to kind of close this little mini-segment out with before we get into the sitcom extravaganza. Does anybody know what safety dancing is? So even though this song seems completely ridiculous, it was actually a protest song because the lead singer at the time was upset. He's from Canada, and that they weren't allowing people to kind of pogo in clubs. I think pogo is like you're kind of like a solo dancer and you kind of flail around and act crazy. And the verse that's what they... Spike Hot Dog asking everybody. Give him up for him. So this is where we go. This song called Safety Dance. I'm going to sing my favorite verse from this one. We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, they're no friends of mine. We can go where we want to. If we don't, then no one will. And we can act real rude and totally removed, and I can act like an imbecile. We can dance, we can dance. Everybody look at your hands. We can dance, we can dance. Everybody's taking a chance. Dance. It's a safety dance. It's a safety dance. It's a safety dance. It's a safety. Bing, 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 bing.
We were watching the video for that back there earlier. It was wild.
It's kind of like a medieval setting.
I told Moot, I was like, I'm bringing my hot dog costume and my Santa costume just in case.
For the hot dog costume, this was a good time to bust it out for the sitcom closing extravaganza.
In case.
I do want to say, before we get into this, again, please do sing along, but one more time for everybody here at World Cafe working tonight. Thanks so much, everybody, for having us here. Give it up for my man Spike, making a trip down from New York. And I want to say, I want to plug the podcast a little bit because that's part of why we did this. You know, it's been so cathartic for me. We started during that first year of the pandemic, and it's really about just trying to connect to that joy of discovering music. But we've kind of built a community because every episode we take a listener suggestion, album suggestion, and you can do the suggestions from album you'd like us to discuss on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Leave it in there. Or just go to CarlLandryRecordClub.com.
Right. And you can send it to us from there.
I remember earlier, Moot says it was cathartic or whatever. Every week during like the first 3-6 months of the pandemic, Moot would be like, so do you think there's ever going to be live music again? And I would be like, yes, it's going to be okay.
It didn't seem like there was going to be for a long time. And then, you know, even this show, I mean, it's just the world we live in now. This was originally going to happen in May. I'm glad whoever held on the tickets or bought tickets came to spend your evening with us. I just want to let y'all know I really appreciate everybody and really appreciate the love and support. It's nice to do a Philly show and just to see everybody. So thank y'all so much.
We ready to sing along with these songs?
Sitcom extravaganza. Baby.
Yeah. Can we start with Gummy Bears?
All right, yeah, here we go. This is a weird one to start with, but we'll start with...
I wanted to start with Gummy Bears. I love
the
tune.
Dashing and daring, courageous and caring, fight for what's right, with stories to share. Gummy Bears, bouncing here and there and everywhere. High adventures are beyond.
Facts of life.
Are you guys going to jump in with me?
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them all, and there you have the facts of life, ain't it? Facts of life. There's a lot you gotta go and show, you're growing on, and now you know the facts of life. The facts of life, where the world never sees. Are you living up to your dreams? The facts of life is all about, facts of life is all about you. Mm-hmm.
Ooh. All right, this one is legitimately a great song, Perfect Strangers.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes the world looks perfect, nothing to rearrange. Sometimes you just get a feeling like you need some kind of change. Standing tall on the wings of my dreams. Rise and fall on the wings of my dreams. The rain of thunder, the wind and haze, I'm bound for better days. It's my life and my dream. Nothing's gonna stop me now.
Yeah! Why is that song so triumphant?
It's
such
great
a triumphant
tune.
Song.
Do the Dance of Joy, Balky.
Are you, I don't know how to do that.
Cheers.
You guys all know this one.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Boom, yeah. Boom, 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 boom. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Boom, 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 boom. And they're always glad you came. Dun, dun, dun. You want to go where people know that people are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Welcome back, Cotter. Mr. Cotter.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they turn around. Who'd have thought to lead you back here where we need you?
Back there where we
on the spot. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Who's the boss?
Oh, yeah.
There's a time to love and a time for living. You take a chance and face the wind. An open road and a road I'm taking. A brand new life around the bend. There were times I lost a dream or two. Found the trail and at the end was you. There's a path you take and a path not taking. The choice is up to you, my friend. The nights are long, but you might await for a brand new life, pippin' it, brand new life, pippin' it, brand new life around the bend.
Just while I'm staring at this one that is on the list, and I cannot remember it, Gilligan's Island?
Oh, yeah. Come on, you guys don't know this one. All right, here we go. Help me out, just because
I don't remember.
I didn't think I knew this one, and I realized like I knew every word of it when I said it. All right.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started on this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailor man, the chipper Draven Fraud. Five passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour, a 3-hour tour. The weather started getting rough, the tiny ship was lost. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost, the minnow would be lost. The ship went ground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle with Gilligan, the skipper too, the millionaire and his wife, the movie star, the professor and Mary Ann here on Gilligan's Isle.
You knew it. Yeah, you knew it.
But I knew it, yeah.
What an amazing song, right? That's...
All right, we got a few more. Sanford and Son.
Boom, 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 banning it. Doom, 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 banning it. Bip, 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 bip.
The Jeffersons.
I got you, please.
Well, fish don't fry in the kitchen. Beans don't burn on the grill. Done a whole lot of trying just to get up that great big hill. We're moving on up to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. We're moving on up to the east side. We finally got a piece of the pie.
Married with Children.
Oh, yeah.
Love and marriage, love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Love and marriage, love and marriage, it's an institute you can't disparage. Ask the local gentry and they will say it's elementary. Try to separate them, it's an illusion. Try and you will only come to this conclusion.
Alright, we got four more. We're gonna finish strong here.
Finish strong.
Friends. By the way, we saw Matthew Perry speak about his new book the other night. Matthew Perry, who almost died like three different times. You should read the book.
Is it a good read?
It is a good book. Yeah.
Now,
absolutely.
Were the Rembrandt? I want to sing this with like an English accent. I don't know why.
I don't. Well, Rembrandt sounds English.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Does.
So no one told you it was gonna be this way. Job's a joke, you broke. Love, that's the old way. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year. But I'll be there for you when the rain starts to pour. I'll be there for you. I'll be there for you, 'cause you're there for me too.
Did we do Family Ties?
No.
Alright, Family Ties.
Well, I bet we've been together for a million years, and I bet we'll be together for a million more. And it's like I started dreaming on the night we kissed. and I can't remember what I ever did before. What would we do, baby, without us? Ooh, what would we do, baby, without us? And there ain't no nothing we can love each other through. What would we do, baby, without us? Sha-la-la.
All right, two more. Saving the best for last. Growing pains.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I gotta remember this one. All right, I got it.
Show me that smile again.
Show me that smile.
Don't waste another minute on your crying. We're nowhere near the end. The best is ready to begin. As long as we got each other, oh, we got the world spinning right in our hands, baby, rain and shine all the time. We got each other, sharing laughter and love, laughter and love.
I actually lied. Now we have two more.
Yes.
We're not leaving without Greatest American Hero.
Yeah.
Do you remember that show? I remember that show. Like, all right.
And Three's Company.
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
Do you know Three's Company?
I think we can help us through it. I sort of know.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's Company do. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Take a step that is new.
Take a step that is new.
With a love of that face that needs your face. Three's Company too. Bam, 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 bam. You'll see that laughter is coming and laughter in the memory. But down at our rendezvous. Three's Company too.
All right, now Greatest American Hero.
Woo! I always think of the 40-year-old version when I, isn't this a 40-year-old version?
Is it?
I think it is.
I don't know.
No?
God, what a great song.
It is good. All right, here we go. Gotta warm up for this one.
All right.
Look at what's happening to me. I can't believe it myself. Suddenly I'm up on top of the world. Should have been somebody else. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free. I'm flying away on a wing and a prayer. Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me.
And the finale.
Y'all, we gotta close strong with this one right here.
The Golden Girls.
One more time. Thank y'all so much for being here tonight. Such a pleasure. Give up for my man Spike. Everybody here at the World Cafe. Truly a pleasure. Look forward to seeing y'all again soon. Let's bring this home right with a Golden Girls sing along like no other. Alright.
Now all of a sudden I forget it. I got it.
Thank you for being a friend. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me, and the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
Thank y'all so much. Truly a pleasure, everybody. Have a wonderful evening. Give it up for Spike Hot Dog Eskin. I love y'all. Thank you so much. Have a great evening. Hope to see you soon.